Those head your my headphones? No, those are that's those are my headphones. These ones yours.
Sorry.
What's going on?
You want to read something from your penguin bar, don't you?
I do. I'm sorry to interrupt this crucial part of setup, but what's a penguin's favourite film?
I don't know.
Frozen.
Oh my.
Shit.
I'm Sophie, she's Anna, and it's time for another instalment of Gas Bags, a show where we talk about our non-profit podcast studio and business Soundyard, we play each other found sounds, and we swap podcast recommendations.
In this week's Good Bits, we are fresh from a very busy but exciting event that happened in our studio today.
In Bad Bits, it's about the build-up that you can have to things and what it can do to your brain.
I got my found sound in the countryside, just down the road from my house.
And in Podcast Swap, I'm bringing the shortest podcast episodes we've discussed so far.
And I have one that's a bit surreal, but it's become a favourite. Good Bits bit this week, then.
We're fresh from our Good Bit, actually, because we have just hosted a workshop. We do lots of development and workshops throughout our weeks at Soundyard, but this is our workshop that we do, develop a podcast. We have 10 participants. It's sold out every time so far. And today's one was epic. This is why the penguin bars are out.
Yeah, that's the only reason we get chocolate in. Well, it's not the only reason we ever get chocolate in. Doing? Don't lie. We've mostly got chocolate here, but penguins feel like a treat. But it was amazing. What a coming together of great minds. They were all so creative and just nice to one another.
And funny. To just get that many funny people in a room was really exceptional. I've never had that. I have been in so many group situations like that. And they were all just sparking off each other. They were in jokes within about 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It was so good. I can't get over how energetic everybody was. They really came in and they wanted to have a nice time. And I think we gave it them.
Also, at the front of Soundyard are lots and lots of windows out onto Magdalen Street.
Yes.
And our neighbour Ben, who runs Venus Vinyl, the record shop, had record store day today. So there was this buzz of this huge sprawling queue going past our shop all the way down the street. Oh, it just felt like a really buzzy day.
But to park the car, it was like parting of the waves. I was like, yeah, so I work here. I need to just get through. And you get all the, you know, people next to you going, what's Soundyard then? What's going on in there? And we were hoovering, getting ready for the podcast, but still, it was a nice little buzz, wasn't it? And I kind of thought, I hope they're not in the queue for the workshop because we can't accommodate that many people.
No.
We haven't got enough cups. Our lunch times have been improved. We talk about Roy's quite a lot on the podcast. The convenience store, which is so much more than a convenience store.
It's a superstore.
It's a superstore.
In so many ways.
It's gifted us something this week that, I mean, we've needed because the weather is up and down, let's be honest.
For background, Anna and I rarely bring lunch. We sometimes do. We'll make each other lunch and she does a very good lunch. But most of the time we are just flying around late. So we sometimes go to the bakery and get baked goods, which is good, but an expensive habit. Sometimes we go to another bakery that's cheaper. Really healthy. And then when we really want to treat ourselves, we go to Roy's and we get what we call a Roy's smorgasbord, which is some kind of questionable meat.
Yes.
Hummus. Some kind of crisp, hummus, sometimes olives. If we're feeling fancy, those sweet peppers.
Yes.
Token grapes and tomatoes.
That are still in the fridge.
That go mouldy in the fridge often. And that is the Roy's smorgasbord.
I mean, you know that you got those plates that divided up like a balanced diet. That it isn't. There are complementary fruits and things on there, but they're very much ignored. We have found something in Roy's that has cut the board into pieces, into so many pieces that you add water to it and it becomes a cup of soup.
Such a throwback. I haven't had one in years. They don't have dairy in, which is another constraint of our lunch experience, because I'm awkward.
I mean, my grandma lived on them.
Did she?
And that's probably why she died. But that's what killed her in the end. A cup of soups for breakfast, lunch and tea. No, no, she... Oh, I'd loved a cup of soup with, like, cheap white bread. Oh, there's nothing nicer.
Costs you, like, what, 30p?
Yeah. Yes.
30p lunch?
I mean, if you're going to go into the electrics, which we're not going to because we can't work it out. Oh, God.
Very happy with our lunch choice. That might be the most boring good bit we've ever done.
It's basically, if you don't know what a cup of soup is, it's just hot, wet lunch in a cup that you...
It's a powder it's you a powder. Add water to.
Yeah. And it's delicious. Full of salt, but it's filling. My grandma actually used to call them cup of shit. Anna, do you want a cup of shit? Which is just horrible, isn't it? Oh dear. I gotta love her. Bad bits this week. I think we've both been looking ahead towards the workshop that we had today. When you've got something in your diary that is, it feels like it is a big thing for us to have 10 different people from 10 different walks of life, and they're all coming to spend time with you for 3 hours to learn off you and learn all your expertise. I'm sure other people have this of not just imposter syndrome, but like, what if all of a sudden all my knowledge falls out and I'm just there, just not knowing anything and I can't think of what to say? Never happens. Thank goodness.
There's an anticipation that builds, isn't there? I think a lot of that for me is just not knowing those 10 people before they walk through the door. Mm. You have no idea if they're going to get on, if they're going to have really opposing views, if you're going to have to manage that. We don't tend to go into anything that's going to bring up polarizing views, but inevitably people are really different and sometimes that happens and shows really quickly.
And when they're on your patch, you're responsible for everybody having a nice time. It's led by you. And that does take up quite a bit of energy. And you think, well, what if I'm just not feeling it that day? Which is why we don't run them every day, isn't it? Because it's hard to sustain. But today was just amazing. It's so nice to come on the other side of that. I think another thing that we're very good at is from the last one, which again was a lovely one as well, but we've improved it. Every time we've done one of these, we have thought, how are we going to improve this for the next lot? How could we be better? How could we manage our time better, mix things up, get people moving about more? And I like that about us. Very proud mother moment. Baby Billy moved from adult and baby class in swimming to put them in the pool on their own with an adult, but without parent and someone holding them. I mean, he's not gone from being babe in arms to being Ian Thorpe. But this week, it was just sort of testament to like not rushing things. Other kids had been moved on quicker than him and off he went. And I think he was a bit nervous. And I was talking to him about being nervous and that's really okay. And I'm at the side of the pool. If ever you want to just jump out and do something else, that's absolutely fine. And he went in and Lisa, his swim teacher, was like, that's the best transition I've ever had. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. And she came out at the end, Lisa did, and she said, oh, I was so impressed with him. I'd like to make him swimmer of the month.
Which, oh, well done. I mean,
for your swimming background, you'll know what that means to a person.
Wonderful. Congratulations, Billy. My news from home is my eldest has been so philosophical recently. It is melting my mind. It usually happens at the break of dawn before I've had a cup of tea. And one of the ones this week was said completely earnestly, completely seriously, Mum, is the future real?
What?
Taken aback because
what?
I just suddenly was starting to question it myself.
What do you say to that? I'm not ready for this. Mm. We're still on Swimmer of the Month.
No, this is the sort of stuff I firefight daily. Is the future real? Am I going to die? When are you going to die?
What did you answer it? And can we make it into a T-shirt?
Is the future real? We should make it into a T-shirt. Yeah. You know, I was trying to make him think about like what the future is. So I was saying the future is, you know, your birthday next year, or it's when you're a teenager, or it's the next second. And he was eating something later on that morning. And I was like, in the future, you're going to have eaten that crumpet. Just this weird concept to try and explain to a six-year-old.
That is quite a lot at that time in the morning.
It's quite a lot at any time of the day for me. It's your turn for found sound.
I'm just going to play this one to you and leave you guessing.
A big nil.
For context, the translation of nils in Billy speak is noise. So nils is noise. And that was a big nils, and it was a big nils. What nils do you think that was?
The clues are, you've got the beeping. I immediately was like, well, that's a vehicle. Mm. And then I thought bin lorry to begin with. But then it didn't sound like a bin lorry. No. I don't know.
We live in the arse end of nowhere and then turn left. That's where we live. And it's really nice. We go out of our house and we are in the countryside and we've got a lovely lane that we can walk all the way down and we end up at a potato store. And that is the sound of, well, potatoes being tipped into a lorry.
I'm such a city girl. Is a potato store a shop?
No. It's just a big building where they store potatoes.
Oh, a store.
Yeah. And interestingly, so showing how like sound travels, very often I can't make recordings at home because the aerer is on in the potato store and I can hear it from our house, which is, you know, a good 3/4 of a mile away. I just like to, you can hear the dog whimpering. He was in no pain. He's just a spaniel and is wants to be on the move all the time. But with all of these vehicles reversing, I was like, oh, I need to go on the lead. So, yeah, he's whinging. Billy's like waiting for the noise. He now understands about me recording things. He's slowly understanding like what I do. And then there's that big rumble.
That is a great sound.
Thank you. I don't know when we'll need it, but I've got it just in case. Always good to capture these things.
Put it in our archive. It's time for our podcast swap. The podcast I'm bringing this week is called Unsung. So I found this via Content is Queen, who are an amazing podcast production company and studio as well in London. So there are 5 episodes and a bonus episode at the moment, all between 7 and 14 minutes, which I believe is possibly the shortest length we've had so far on our podcast swap. Mm. I've really enjoyed that, though. Hosted and produced by Sumit Sharma, who is an award-winning audio producer and one half of another podcast that's on my listen list, which is called Breaking Atoms, where they break down the important issues in hip-hop music, culture and politics. So I might be back with that in a few weeks' time. Anyway, this series, Unsung, is about uncovering the hidden tales and genius of artists who have transcended the boundaries of music. So it's looking at their lives and legacies, looking at their personal and creative landscapes that led them to trailblazing. It's about people who dared to try something new and innovate and redefine whatever genre they were working within, or crossing genres, crossing boundaries. There are episodes on Charles Mingus, the legendary jazz virtuoso, mm-hmm. Wendy Carlos, who was the pioneering musician who played a huge part in the development of electronic music and also of the first Moog synthesizer, Lata Mangeshkar, the Indian playback singer and music composer, and the impact that she had on Indian cinema, the renowned Japanese DJ and producer DJ Crush, and the Jamaican reggae artist Jacob Miller. I like loads about this. First of all, I've been listening to a lot of music recently, and in all honesty, I know we run a podcast studio and a podcast production company, but it's been one of those weeks where I haven't really wanted to listen to words. I've just wanted to listen to music. So,
good seller there. Well done.
What can I say? I'm just being honest. And so,
should we do music swap instead?
We. Yeah. This has been a nice breath of fresh air, though, because I'm not really ready for a big, long, heavy listen even I need a week off.
Whoa.
I know, sometimes. So this has just been like a really nice thing to listen to. It's really good at delivering information and it's thought-provoking. And I just love musing on creativity. That's just a topic I could talk about for days and days and weeks and bore anyone with. I love it. I love the scripting of this and the turns of phrase. It's beautifully written. Sumit's voice is really enjoyable as well. And the artwork is beautiful too. It's quite understated, really classic looking photographs of the artists in a kind of warm monochrome filter with a lovely typeface over it as well. I think, Anna, that you will be sold on this podcast because of, and I know I say this a lot with podcasts, and you, the sound design. Mm. So Sumit is an audio producer. As you'd expect, it is beautifully woven with the music of the artist that's been chosen, with just, oh, it's like a song. It's like listening to extended songs with information coming at you as well. It's just a really lovely, immersive listen. It's called Unsung.
Sounds amazing. This week, I've landed on a light one. It's called Everything is Alive, and I chose it because I felt I was in need for something with a little less weight to it. The last few episodes, I've had a string of quite heavy choices, and I have to admit, this is quite amusing, really. I thought I'd landed on something very bizarre. Before all that, though, you've got around 45 episodes to listen to. They're available online and each one lasts between 20 to 25 minutes. Ian Shillag is the host and the creator with Radiotopia. So this is a podcast that's a really dippy, inny, outy podcast. You don't have to listen to all of it. You can just pick an episode here and there, whatever you fancy.
Is that a technical term, by the way?
Dippy, inny, outy is a technical term in the podcast world, yes. So once you've got the premise of this one, it's one that you can listen to when you're just in the mood for it. And it's nice sometimes to not be desperate to chase the next episode of something, I find. So, right, the premise then. Each episode speaks to a random inanimate object. These objects have a voice and the host is interviewing those voices to understand what life is like for that object. It's a little bit like if you were to interview the characters in Toy Story. I listened to the first episode of this without reading the show notes or anything about it, to be honest. So I was listening thinking, oh my goodness, this person actually thinks that they are a bottle of fizzy drink. I mean, when you listen to it, you're like, oh, it's obviously a comedy. But I was sat there for a moment like, they surely do not think that they're a bottle. And I convinced myself that it was going to be some people are really poorly and like really think that they are
wow.
Other things. It's not that. It is just a comedy. So you hear a new voice with each object and it's a really relaxed chat. And the objects often bring up really interesting facts about their history. And the host then cuts away to exploring that particular tangent with an expert of that topic. But it's really nicely done. So my favourite thing about this podcast is its pace. It is lush. It's so beautifully crafted. Someone is really thinking about the time being spent making sure that it sounds effortlessly relaxed. I tell you what, it was such a masterclass in the delivery of delicate journalism and human interest as well. It's so laid back, it's so relaxed, and it's just such a nice thing to hear. Now, what else do I love? It's unscripted. You have no idea where each episode is going to go. Some are really poignant and thoughtful. Others are just really silly, and it's quite hilarious. It is funny. I didn't expect this to make me laugh. I don't usually like improvised humour very much, and I think that's probably because I haven't experienced much of it. Most improv comedy feels like a race to the joke end, like it's really high energy and like everyone kind of competes for laughs. And I don't find that often very funny, but this isn't that at all. I mentioned I was bookkeeping whilst I was listening and the person who was hiring the studio from us that night must have thought I was completely bonkers because I was just randomly giggling all evening. It's really good. I wasn't guffawing, I was giggling. It's the sort of comedy that my mum wouldn't understand, but one that makes the corners of your mouth twinge. And sometimes humour like that is exactly what you need to hear. Sophie, you'll love it because it taps into that idea of imagining life as something else. And it feels like a creative writing exercise for the artists involved. And I think really you should get your son to listen to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great. I'll
because
get on it.
And of all that philosophy and understanding objects and what we are and everything, they tap into that. So it's Everything is Alive by Radiotopia.
If you've got suggestions of what we should be listening to, you can always email us about anything, actually. Our email address is hello@soundyard.org.